The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Thank you again for being here for worship. It is awesome to see each and every one of you, and I am excited for a week of Thanksgiving. There's this nasty rumor going around. I don't know if it's reached your ears yet. Some people believe that I don't like Christmas. I have a reputation in my house of being a Grinch because I won't let us decorate for Christmas until after Thanksgiving. And the rumor is that I don't like Christmas, and that's not really true. I like Christmas. I'm a fan of Christmas. Christmas is cool. Like, I love everything about Christmas. I think that maybe places like Walmart, who start setting up for Christmas in July, maybe they could slow down just a little bit. And remember that there's this other month of November where it's Thanksgiving and you know, kind of put some emphasis on that holiday as well. And so that's why. But what an awesome privilege it is to be able to give thanks. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but our ability to give thanks is remarkable. How many of you have had somebody tell you thank you for something recently? How does it make you feel? It makes you feel really good. Like, regardless of what you've done or anything like that, man, I was blown away by Pastor's Appreciation Month. Can't thank you guys enough. And how stuff poured in after that. I mean, we had people buy, we had like the whole Fam Jam celebration here. We had people buy our dinner one day for like 75,000 of us. You guys have done so much, and I can't express my thanks to you for what you've meant to my family. But it makes us feel good when people say thank you. And so today, what I want to look at is a thankful life. Like, how do you and I live a thankful life? Because here's the cool part. I think God loves it when we say thank you to Him. I think that when we say thank you to God, that warms His heart, just like it does when somebody says thank you to you. It makes you feel good. God's the same way. But I think that there's other things that we can do, because how many of you have ever forgotten to say thank you to somebody? All right, where are my thank you note people at? Who's a thank you note person? Who's not a thank you note person? Y'all know what thank you notes are, right? When somebody gives you something, you write a note back and you say thank you. Oh, they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm not a thankful note person. I try to be really good about it, but I'm just not that kind of person that like remembers that. But like, anybody ever forgot to say thank you? So wouldn't it be cool if there was something that you and I could do that in those moments when we forget to thank God for everything He's done, He would still feel our appreciation. He would still feel our thankfulness. And the cool thing is that Scripture tells us there is something that you can do to make God feel that appreciation. It's the way you live your life. You and I can live our lives in such a way that God receives the thanks from our life, even when our words forget to say thank you. Which is key, because for us forgetful folks who forget to say thank you sometimes, and you guys won't be honest, but I'll be honest with you this morning, because why not, right? How many of you have ever like started chowing down on your delicious food, and all of a sudden one of your kids goes, "Dad, you forgot to pray." And you're like, "No, I did it. I'm the pastor. I said prayer like 5 minutes ago. I'm just ahead of the game." But what we all do, we forget to say thanks. And so there are times in our life where we forget to thank God for what He's done in our life. But there are also things that we can do that help us live a thankful life, where even in the times that we forget to say thanks, God is still receiving gratitude and thanks from our life. Our text this morning is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles, or if you've got it on the screens, or you've got it in your notes, we're just going to walk through this passage. And Kelsey said, she was talking to me this week, she said, "Try and just have a conversation with people." So that's what I'm going to do my best to do. I'm going to try and just have a conversation with you guys about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul starts out writing in chapter 1, verse 2, and he says this: "We always thank God for you, continually mentioning you in our prayers." The first thing that I think we've got to figure out is this: prayer is vital to a thankful life. Mm-hmm. If you and I are going to live a thankful life, we have to have prayer as a key component, a key element to it. I don't know how many of you guys have gotten a chance to check out our prayer room. Man, Rocky, I am so sorry. We have a thing where we're supposed to meet in the prayer room at 10:25. I invited you guys to be there this morning. I was trying to get there my hardest because I really wanted to sit down in the prayer room and just pray for a minute. And that didn't happen this morning, and so I'm sorry to you, but man, prayer is key to our walk with Christ and living a thankful life. Why? Because what happens when you pray? How do you guys start out your prayer? Dear Heavenly Father. Okay. All right. How many of you guys start out with saying, thank you for this? It's simple things. Right? We thank God for our food. We thank God for our family. We thank God for our friends. We thank God for loving us. That's our staple prayer that we teach our kids is, God, thank you for this food. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for loving me. That's like what we go to. And so our prayer is geared to thank God. Even Jesus, when Jesus prayed, he started out, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as earth as it is in heaven. Now, before he gets into the asking, everything he does in those first couple verses is thanking God for who he is. Prayer changes our perspective. It helps you and I realize that all the things that may be going wrong in our life aren't really that bad compared to what God's done for us. It creates this element in us of thankfulness. They've done a bunch of studies over the past 2 years. I've seen these studies time and time again. That when you have an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness, worry can't exist in that same mindset. You can't be worrying about something and thanking at the same time. Like neurologically, I don't understand it because I'm not a doctor. But like, there's something in your brain that can't work the two things at the same time. You can't be worrying and thankful at the same time. And so when we pray, and as we pray, and we start to thank God, and we start to tell God exactly who he is, it shuts off the worry side of our brain. That only comes when we start to ask God for things, doesn't it? Because you ask God for things, and you start to worry about what all those things happens, and what happens if it doesn't go the way you want it to. But when you're in the moment where you're just praising God, and you're thanking him for who he is, worry is not a part of that. And so the key to this, if you and I are going to live thankful lives, prayer has to be a part of it. Not just prayer, but consistent prayer in your life. When you look at Paul talks about how he continually mentions you in our prayers. It was something that was a daily habit. It was something that was continual for Paul. Prayer needs to be continual in our life. I'm a big advocate of that. I think that you should always be in a mindset of prayer. And if you ever watch me pray, there's a lot of times I pray with my eyes open. And that's because like what I do is I want to train my brain to know that I can pray when I'm driving in the road. Because if you've ever tried to pray and close your eyes while you're driving in the road, it's not a good thing. Don't do that. And so like I want to train my mind to realize though, that I don't have to pray with my eyes closed. I don't have to pray in a certain pew. I don't have to pray at a certain altar. I can literally communicate with God anywhere I am at any given point in time. And that helps me stay in a constant attitude of prayer. And so prayer is key. It's vital to living a thankful life. He goes on in verse number 3. It says this, We remember before God our Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So three things a thankful life has in them. A thankful life has action from faith. Now, what's that mean? It means that you and I do something, we work. We have some motivation, some benefit. We do something with our Christian life. In other words, we don't just come into church, sit in the same pew, listen to the sermon if it's not too boring, sing the songs when they're songs we like. It means that you and I are actively involved in doing something for the kingdom of God. That actions. Now, listen, this is not a works-based thing, but when you and I are focused on serving, how many of you have ever done short-term mission work of any kind? Oh man, we've got to fix that. We're gonna go on some short-term mission trips. Because here's the number one thing that comes from a short-term mission trip. You come back, and the very first thing everyone I've ever taken on a short-term mission says is this, I'm so thankful for what we have. Because when you start to minister and you start to serve in these places where people have less than you, it heightens your awareness to what you do have and the blessings that God has in your life. And so as you start to serve other people, what does that do? It makes you more keenly aware of all the things that God is doing in your life. And so these actions are necessary. They're something that we have to have as part of a thankful life. But they're not just actions. They're actions motivated by what? By faith. It's not just enough to do the actions. Why? Because I can do the actions, but the entire time, what am I doing? Chris, you see how good I sang this morning? I sang really good this morning. I was mad, Rocky, and I still sang. Aren't I cool? I'm so thankful. That's not actions motivated by faith. That's actions motivated by, hey, look at me, I'm a good Christian. Actions motivated by faith are different. They're actions that say, listen, God, this is completely out of my wheelhouse. This is completely out of my realm. This is completely out of who I am. But I trust you that you're going to take care of this. And so I'm going to move and I'm going to do these things and I'm going to serve in this capacity. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sing. Listen, man, can I thank you guys real quick? It is, for those of y'all who sit back here, you miss so much. Because those of us that sit up here, what do you hear when people sing? You hear everyone singing. I've been in churches where you don't hear anyone singing. And so thank you for being a congregation who sings, because I can sit here and I can hear you singing. And don't worry, I can't pick out what voice is who, and so I'm not worried about that. But listen, man, that's just a great thing. So many times people say, well, I'm not a good singer, so I can't sing. Belt it out. Why? Because it's an action motivated by faith. God, listen, I can't sing. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lift my voice to you regardless of whether I can sing or not. That's an action motivated by faith. He goes on and he says, it's labors of love. Now, this sounds kind of like the same thing, right? A labor of love is the same thing as an action of faith, but it's a little bit different. Because when I see that word labor of love, what that tells me is my mind goes back to childbirth. A woman giving birth in labor. Why in the world do women decide to go through however many hours of labor doing what you guys do in labor? Why? I'll never forget it, man. Kelsey had our first Nora, and it was not the most pleasant experience. We're an hour from the hospital, and she's like, we can turn around and go home. You're having contractions. We're not going home. We get there, and it's a night full of just labor pains and with contractions and different things like that. And, oh, man, it's just not a pleasant experience. And then, like, 3-4 years later, she's like, hey, we should have another one. Did you forget everything that just happened? I was traumatized by it. I can't imagine what that did to you. Why do women do that? Oh, it's because they care. It's because when they hold that child for that first time, all that stuff that they went through just disappears. And they forget all about the pain. They forget about the 9 months where they couldn't have coffee and they couldn't do chocolate and they couldn't do the things they wanted to do and all those different things. Because in that moment, nothing else matters. They just care for that little one that's in their arms. If you and I want to live a thankful life, what we have to do is we have to care for everyone motivated by love. You have to care deeply for people. Why? Because when we care for people, we are closest to God's heart. Why did God send Jesus? Why do we celebrate in a couple months? We celebrate Christmas. We were so excited that Jesus came. Why did he do that? He did that because he cared for us. And so if you want to know what it means to care for people, it means that you give, you sacrifice, you actually invest in their life. And that labor, that painful process that you go through with people when they don't think the same way, they don't like what you like, and they don't act like you want them to act, and it's painful, it's difficult, it's still motivated by love, and it gives you and I the opportunity to produce a faith, thankful life. The last thing he says is he talks about hope that's motivated, purpose that's endurance inspired by hope. A thankful life has purpose that's motivated by hope. He uses the word endurance, your endurance is inspired by hope. It's the idea that you and I understand that our life has a purpose. Do you understand it this morning? It's easy if you want to not be thankful, start to think that your life has no meaning, has no purpose. That what you do doesn't matter, that it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter if you come to church, it doesn't matter if you sing songs, it doesn't matter. Nothing in the world matters, and quickly you're going to start to be less and less thankful. Because at that point, what do I have to have to be thankful for? If nothing I have matters, then what do I have to be thankful for? But when you and I start to realize that everything that you and I get to do is a gift from God, man, that creates purpose. Now my life has meaning, and I'm thankful for the meaning that I have. I'm thankful for the things that I get to do because of the hope that's found in Christ in me. A thankful life is a life that has purpose and hope. It's grounded in that, and it's inspired by that. It encourages us to stick with it because we have a hope for the future. He jumps on in verse number 4 and says this, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply in words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction, knowing you know how we lived among you for your sake." A thankful life has power that produces guiding standards. Your life has power. Again, I don't know why, man, but God has just continued to drill this in my head that somebody needs to hear this. You need to understand this. Your life has power. Your life is meaningful. Your life is impactful. What you do matters. What that verse tells me is this, when the gospel came to you, when you accepted Christ, when you received Jesus and you prayed the prayer, you did whatever you did, you placed your faith in Him, all of a sudden your life became powerful. It became a powerful force for God's good in this world today. Because people are looking at you, people need to hear from you, what you do, what you don't do, all those things matter based on the fact that now the gospel lives in you. Go back and read that verse number 4 again and look at how many times Paul iterates this idea. The gospel came to you in power, not just with words, but with power. The Holy Spirit gives us deep conviction in how He lived among them for their sake. It's the idea that the Holy Spirit came into Paul's life, gave him power at the point of salvation. From that point, when he came and he preached the gospel and he talked to people, he was sharing with them, "Your life is powerful." And as he shared with them, "Their life is powerful." The convictions came in their life. Do you know what a conviction is? A conviction is the proof that the Holy Spirit lives inside you. If you have no convictions, that's a problem. You might want to go back and do some soul searching and find out if your faith is really in Christ. Because conviction is not a bad thing. Conviction is a good thing. It means that the work of the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And then not just that, but he says, how we lived among you. How many of you think of other people when you live? Just think about it. Decisions you make. How many of you think of other people? For parents, it's kind of easy, right? Every decision we make, we know affects somebody else, and so we think about them a little harder. But really, every decision you make impacts somebody. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever your case is, if you are a follower of Christ, every decision you make impacts somebody. A thankful life is powerful, and it gives us guiding standards. A thankful life is learned. You look at verse number 6. "You became imitators of us, for the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit." How did you learn to say thank you? Parents. Yeah. How many of you had parents who, if you didn't say thank you, you found out very quickly you need to say thank you? Sometimes with a nice firm hand, you found out the thank you should come out of my mouth. It's a learned thing. You know how you learn things? Ooh, this is key. How do you learn something? Somebody said it. Practice. Who said practice? Somebody said it. Ron, thank you. All right, you're not going to take credit for it. You practice it. How many of you, the first time you picked up a pen, were great at math? No, you have to practice it. How many of you, the first time you did something, you were just phenomenal at it and you never practiced a day in your life? No. The things that you're good at, you practice. You want to be good at being thankful? You want to learn how to be thankful? Practice it. Practice saying thank you. Practice finding things in your life to thank God for. If you want to live a thankful life, you learn it. And you learn it by practicing it over and over and over again. And it's repetition in our life that make us thankful. He goes on in the other part of that, and he talks about how in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit, you welcome the message. My wife kind of stole my thunder on this earlier, but a thankful life isn't circumstantial. It's easy to thank God when things are good, isn't it? When the refrigerator's full, when all the bills are paid, when there's still money in the account, when the kids aren't arguing, when all your family's getting along, when life is just peachy keen. It's crazy. Those are the times we usually forget to say thank you. But it's easy in those moments. It's a lot harder in those moments when I don't know there's more month than there is paycheck. There's more responsibility at work and there's less time with family. And all of a sudden these things start coming in and these circumstantial things of life start to cloud and start to diminish and start to reduce our thankfulness. But listen, just like it's learned, it's not circumstantial. What that means is that whole verse, if you were to take verse number 6 and you were to apply it to your life, it means this. Practice saying thank you in good and bad circumstances. You know what you'll learn to do? Say thank you in bad circumstances. You'll learn it. It's not going to come naturally. It's not going to come easy. But it's going to be a spiritual habit that you're going to develop that's going to help you say thank you in any and all circumstances. He goes on in verse number 7 and 8 and says this. You became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only to Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. A thankful life is inspiring. You know what that means? As I learn to say thank you, remember how we talked about how your life is powerful? All those people that are watching you, guess what they learn to do? And learn to say thank you too. You realize that as you say thank you, as you live a life of thankfulness, not just thank you like, hey, thank you for this food, thank you for that, but as you genuinely live a life that screams thank you to God, other people around you see that, they're inspired by it, and it creates an attitude of thanks in them. You know what the most contagious thing in church is? We're away from COVID, so we can talk about that now. You know what the most contagious thing in church is? Grumbling and complaining. Isn't it? Brother Rocky didn't have the slides up today. I don't like that. I can't sing if I can't have slides. I'm not going back to that church if they can't get their slides figured out. Did you hear? They're not going back to church anymore because they didn't get the slides figured out. And all of a sudden, that one little grumbling spreads to this person, spreads to that person, spreads to this person. And the most contagious thing in our churches today is grumbling and complaining. You know what the antidote is? Being thankful. Anytime somebody comes to you with a grumble or complaint, man, aren't you grateful we've got TVs? How cool is that? We actually have TVs in church. We've got people who will work and figure things out. Man, I'm so grateful and thankful. And listen, you know what? If you guys could capture what happened this morning between 10 and 10:37, I guess, I don't know, something like that. It was people who said, listen, we don't want this to affect people's worship experience. What can we do to make this happen? Hey, listen, instead of complaining, I'm so grateful that I get to work with guys who that's their mentality. Hey, what do we got to do to make this work? It's too hot in church. I don't want to go to church. Hey, listen, thank God we've got heat. Anytime you hear grumbling and complaining, if you meet it with thanksgiving, it is just as contagious and just as quenching to that grumbling. Because it's inspiring when other people see the good in things. How many of you guys like to hang out with Debbie Downers? Nope. Don't want to do it. Don't want to be around them. I don't want that. I've got enough stuff in my life. I don't need you constantly bringing me down with everything that's going on and how you see the negative in every situation. I like to be around people who say, listen, but at least we've got something. Thankfulness is inspiring. And it seeps out from your life and it impacts impacts other people, and then they become thankful, and they become thankful, and as they become thankful, that it spreads over and over and over again. A thankful life is something that is inspiring. And you say, listen, John, all that's well and good. Thank you so much for a great sermon. Can you please let us out of here? There's one more thing we've got to look at. Verse number 9 and 10. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned from God to God from idols to serve a living and true God, to wait on His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from our coming wrath. This morning you may be sitting here and you may say, listen, there is absolutely nothing thankful about my life. John, if you've got 16 hours, I could just share with you a list of why I have absolutely nothing to be thankful for. Your testimony is the reason for a thankful life. Because whether you realize it or not, when you start to grasp the fact that we were sinners, and what Christ did on Calvary to purchase you back from God, to buy you back, that's all you need to say thank you. There is nothing else in your life that you need. I don't need a car. I don't need a house. I don't need family. I don't need anything. I need the fact that the God of the universe loved me enough to send His Son to take my place on a cross, to die for my sins, to shed His blood so that I can have a relationship with that God who created everything. That's enough. That's all I need. And so if you ever find yourself wondering, what in the world can I be thankful for? Look at your testimony. You say, well, I don't have an exciting testimony. Yeah, you do. Because if you don't have an exciting testimony and you never did the really super bad stuff, God saved you from all kinds of things. I've told you guys before, the worst thing I did as a kid before I got saved was destroy my cousin's Barbie house. That was it, man. That was my great, wonderful, earth-shattering sin. But you know what? As I think back in my life, I look at friends that I grew up with. I look at people that I grew up with. Same church, same everything. And then I look at where their life is now and I say, God, you saved me from so much stuff. And so my testimony is why I'm thankful. Because if God has never necessarily pulled me out of something, He's kept me from things. And that makes me thankful. And if nothing else, that's a terrible mentality to have, because you and I have to understand that that sin, as small as it was, that simple, silly little Barbie house that I destroyed, that was enough to separate me from God. It was a Barbie house. But in that Barbie house, there was hate. There was lying. There was all kinds of stuff that was rooted down so deep that as a 7-year-old, I had no clue how to express it, but it was still in my heart. And even as a 7-year-old, that little sin was enough to separate me from God. And so I'm so thankful for what God did by sending Jesus. Because if not, then that 7-year-old little destruction of a Barbie house would have kept me out of God's presence for eternity. This morning, I don't know, man, maybe you can say, I have nothing to be thankful for. I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, look at your life. Look at God's grace on your life. And if nothing else, be thankful for that. And that will create a thankful life that will spread, that is powerful, that's impactful, that produces acts of service and all the things we just looked at in Thessalonians. God, I thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. God, that gives us keys on how to live a thankful life. God, because there are moments where we all forget to say thank you. God, where we take for granted possibly where we are, we take for granted what's going on in life. So this morning, Lord, we want to pause first and just say thank you. God, it's amazing the busyness that starts sometime in the fall and ends sometime after the first of the year. Life gets filled up with activities, functions, get-togethers. Lord, so many times we just get so busy, we forget to stop and say thank you. So God, I pray this morning that as your words were read, as your spirit works, Father, that you will create a room full of Christians who live thankful lives. So Father, in the busyness, even in the times where we may forget to say thank you, our life is screaming thanks and praise to you so that other people see that and it draws them closer to you, or it draws them into a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that as we just sing this song of worship and response, God, I pray that you would just help us to lift a song of thanks to you. Lord, to praise you. God, if we can't think of anything else, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love in our life. And the fact that you died for a sinner like me. Lord, we love you and thank you. We ask that during this time you would cause us to be obedient to your will, and that our worship would be honoring and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.